I would like to say at this time that I received a call this afternoon from Don Barber and asked to be excused tonight because he's suffering severe pain from a medical problem that he's being treated for and didn't feel like he could concentrate or provide the level of attention and consideration that this meeting tonight wanted. And I excuse him. The Pledge of Allegiance. Kathy, lead us in the pledge, please.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. And our first order of business, of course, is the Lapine Council's convening special session to interview labor councils. And I will ask the city manager to tell us.
Give you some framework?
Framework, please.
Okay, well, we've afforded approximately 20 minutes for interview, and you folks are welcome to ask our counselor here any questions you think are appropriate to help you decide whether or not this person is the person we want to hire for this position. And again, you've got his resume here. Certainly the qualifications, satisfies all the qualifications to do this kind of a job. And with that, we should turn it over to the gentleman and let him introduce himself and then have at it. How's that?
Sounds good.
Is that Avon?
Yeah, I thought it was a doorbell too.
Yeah, I guess you're right.
Thank you very much, Steve.
Okay.
And I would comment that all the counselors have had the packets and have had a chance to overview them, and I will. Kathy, you or whoever wants to start it off. Dan?
Dan.
Well, I guess, you know, this is a first for us. And I guess I'd just kind of be interested from your perspective to know how you see, you know, your services and you interacting with us, how much time you think would be involved, kind of
sure.
An overview of what you think would be, we'd be able to expect and look forward to. And I don't know how much you know about our situation either, but in general, kind of looking for an educational process and at the same time see how, you know, we could work
sure.
together.
Sure, yeah. Well, first of all, I want to thank the council for inviting me to come and talk about our services. I'm always happy to do so. Certainly lawyers, we love to talk about ourselves as much as we love to talk about the work that we do. I am very curious about what precipitated the RFP for a labor council, so I hope to learn more about that tonight. But a little bit more about me and how we can help you. In situations like this, it really depends on the need of the city and what services you're looking for. So if you're looking for someone who is at the bargaining table to lead negotiations, obviously in that situation I would be here before the negotiations, maybe, you know, a month or two to prepare initial proposals with the city manager or the department head as we work toward drafting that initial proposal, and then certainly at the bargaining table then presenting those proposals, explaining them to the unions. That's certainly more time intensive to do it that way, and some cities have me present at the table. Other cities, like for example Medford, Doug Detling down there does all the bargaining himself, and he's a rock star at it. But when he gets to the point of mediation and the potential for interest arbitration, he'll call me in, as he did just this recent time for the firefighters. And so we went through mediation and ultimately went through the interest arbitration. So it depends. There's a spectrum, at least with regard to, for example, negotiations. On the other hand, if it's litigation or that kind of thing, then obviously it would be the time-intensive process to respond to the charge, if it's a BOLI charge or an unfair labor practice charge. But I would see myself working either with the city manager or coming and talking to you in special session, executive session, so that we could discuss a strategy if that's what it took.
Let me just a couple of comments. We recently assumed the sewer and water districts in the city.
Okay.
And as of last July, they have a union recently formed of three people.
Okay.
Or they have three people in the union here.
Mm-hmm.
Two of the workers at the plants, mm-hmm. and one administrative worker.
Okay.
And Steve, you can help me here along the lines of expanding that and our needs. But we need labor counsel. You know,
okay.
There's benefits to consider. There's all kinds of issues.
Yeah.
And so we feel we need that. And that's basically the first step of information that I can give you.
Sure. Sure.
And let me just compliment that. They had formed a labor union and had bargaining rights and were acknowledged when they were special purpose districts. And they brought that vestment with them over here, although they haven't exercised it over here. We had the labor union, when they came over, ask us to honor the labor agreement, and we said we wouldn't do that. They would have to negotiate with us as that opportunity presented itself. And nothing further has occurred at this date. But this is just a prevention strategy,
okay.
And that is, if something happens, and we have someone that has the competencies to step in at the onset, mm-hmm. and say, here's how we need to,
sure.
to address this,
sure.
issue, and here's how we do it.
Yeah.
Plus, the fact that there's a labor union process over here means that other employees here, I would imagine, could join, and there's now seven of us here, and there's four employees in my mind that could be part of the union. And we're a brand new city, and as time goes on, we're going to employ more people.
Sure.
So, you know, we're just trying to set the stage at the onset, and we have someone with the competencies nearby that can rush in if the need arises, rather than, okay, now they've made some kind of a labor demand, and what do we do next?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. And thank you for that explanation. And so along a spectrum of responses and strategies that we could roll out depending upon what the city wants to do. I mean, I have some public sector employers that would rather not be unionized and are quite smitten with that idea, and they work hard at not being unionized in certain aspects. And I have some that say, fine, that's great. If you want to do it, that's your decision. Do it, and we'll respect the rights and bargain a fair contract for the best of the public sector agency. So there's a spectrum along that, of course, and it depends upon your direction.
My view is I would just assume that we're able to maintain the management integrity in-house and make our employees feel comfortable with what we offer them in the way of compensations and attentions.
Yeah.
But you just never know in this day and age,
right.
what might happen.
Right. And the unique thing about if you've already got a component that is unionized and there is an awareness that that unit could expand. There are certain procedures at ERB, the Employment Relations Board, to allow for that to happen. And so we would want to make sure that those procedures for expansion, if that's what the employees decided to do, was properly followed. But again, it's really up to the
Todd,
city.
I don't think the council has we've sort of waited until we got to this point.
Sure.
The
yeah.
council has even made a move toward deciding what our feelings are about union employees, or you know,
right.
And that'll be something that'll come along.
Sure.
And I think tonight you'll be able to tell us more about the kinds of things we need to be aware of if we're going to see this union continue.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So, Stu, do you have any?
Well, I'd just like to hear, I don't know, this whole, I imagine with your firm, you've dealt with, I've read many different types of unions, and this one in particular, honestly, I haven't heard of. But in your dealings with the various different unions, have you found most of them to be, well, easy to work with? You know, because we all are
yeah.
a small town, we know everybody.
Sure,
everybody
yeah.
Everybody knows us.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's,
yeah.
I know I've had dealings with different unions.
Yeah.
And it can open up some canyon of a sore.
Oh, sure, yeah.
Between
yeah.
different entities.
Sure.
So how would you approach it in a small community?
Yeah.
The chance that, you know, one of these folks could be a tenant, or it could be a landlord, you know.
Sure, I mean, of course.
It gets intertwined.
Sure. Sure. I think that in a smaller city, that awareness has to be front and center. The union, though, depending upon who it is, and at this point I don't know who it is, they may not be that sensitive to it if, for example, let's just say they're SEIU and there's someone from the office of Portland that occasionally gets over to Bend and they service some groups over here. They may not necessarily be that sensitive to the fact that everyone knows everyone and that there's, you know, some relationships that you have at the, you know, the local store down the way here. And so that business representative that is assigned to the unit sometimes isn't all that sensitive and caring about relationship. On the other hand, if it's an association, it's an association made up of folks themselves, like for example Lake Oswego had an association for many, many years. The city dealt with that association directly, and the employees were the officers of the union, and they had a very good working relationship for many years until the employees were a little frustrated by the internal mechanisms of the association, and then I think they went to SEIU for some more muscle and bigger power, I think, because at least that was their thinking. So yeah, as how I would come to give advice, number one, I'd want to make sure that I would give some practical advice. For a city your size, it just doesn't make economic sense for you to have me, for example, sitting at the bargaining table. I would trust that you guys would be able to talk to the union and figure out what is the interest of both parties and see if you can work it out. And if there was an issue about whether something was a mandatory subject of bargaining that you had to bargain about or was a permissive subject, you could pick up the phone and call me and, you know, we could talk about it for 20 minutes and I could get you on a path and you could go about your business. But it, at least from a practical sense, that doesn't make much sense to have me here at the table, so to speak. So practical, you know, interests would prevail, and most importantly, it seems to me, is the awareness of the working relationship that you have with these folks. I just got done with a hearing last night in Seattle at 7 o'clock last night, and it was a very contentious hearing. It went from 9 in the morning until 7 at night, you know, the parties, they've had a history of not getting along, so that was part and parcel of what my job was last night, is to finish out that, you know, process of not getting along. But again, that's if that's what you need me to do, I can do that too.
Okay, that was part of my follow-up, was going to be if you would recommend yourself sitting at the table, or, you know, the city manager sitting at the table with them.
Right? Yeah.
Because another union just finished that in town, and they had brought someone in,
yeah,
which actually worked out better.
Oh, yeah.
Because it's a much bigger union.
Okay, yeah, so, sure.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah, and you know, there comes a point in time, too, in those negotiations, like, for example, in my example of Medford, where maybe it's appropriate at that point to bring me in. Or, you know, I work with Wilsonville, where they we contracted out the wastewater treatment plant outside the city. And so there were some difficult negotiations with the union, because those folks were part of the city for many years. And those conversations are difficult to say, okay, we're done. It's going to be CH2M Hill that's going to take over this work. We're going to build a new outfit here. And, you know, we'll see if we can get you a job over there. So it depends on the circumstances of what is being discussed and the magnitude and the differences between the parties. Mm-hmm. But generally speaking, I think that you guys would be the best position to deal with the union.
What, for Todd's benefit, what is the union here? What's the name of the union we're talking to?
Someone asked me
a question. Yeah, good question. I had that written down. Okay. Yeah, it's a question, but thank you. Todd, what's the smallest city, or maybe let's say the smallest union group that you represent and do negotiations with?
Well, for many years I did City of Wilsonville's negotiations. They had maybe 100. I've done certainly much smaller units, mm-hmm, than that. I've done 911 operators, and so those are groups of 20.
Okay.
Folks. Relatively small but specialized group of folks that have difficult working conditions, and so negotiations there are challenging only insofar as the employees have a difficult job, and mm-hmm, the employer knows it, and so they want to be fair to these people.
Mm-hmm. What, when we get down the road, you talked about maybe it not being a thing that maybe you ought to be in on the negotiation, being such a small group like that. What, where does the negotiator get the focus for the position of negotiations for the city?
Where does he get the focus?
Well, I guess what I'm trying to say is, obviously we have to set some, you know, the council.
Oh, the parameters.
The parameters.
Got it. Yeah.
How the city, yeah, will focus.
Great.
On managing, yeah, or working with the union, either from a start to a stop.
Yeah. Great question. And I actually do trainings with city managers, city councils, on the appropriate role of the council or the special district board and the management team, so that let's say, you know, Dan, you meet the local union officer at the feed store down the way, and you're having a nice conversation, and all of a sudden conversation turns to the union, and you say something like, God, I don't know why the hell the union's asking for so much. We're not going to give you that much.
Yeah.
Well, suddenly now you're a representative. You've now put your hat back on as a council member, and you've just made a statement about whether or not we're going to agree to a proposal that might be on the table. And so I do a lot of trainings to help out the role of council members vis-a-vis the paid management team that's there representing your interest, and that could be Stephen or it could be me. Usually my quick advice is, when you're confronted with that, say, look, we've got our full faith and confidence in Steve. He's there at the bargaining table. We're aware of the issues, but we're confident we're going to be able to work out these issues and come to an agreement, and leave it at that. But you don't want to implicate or say something that would stub the employer's toe, you know, just because you run into someone at the local store. Mm-hmm. And so those are some sensitive issues that, as we kind of go down that road, you'd want to make sure that folks know their designated roles and how to handle themselves.
I appreciate you speaking to that, because we have held up on making any comments or dealing with benefits or, you know, dealing mm-hmm. with some issues here at City Hall until we have a labor attorney on board, so we can be trained, so we can know.
Right.
And that was an excellent example. Right. So.
Yeah, and how then? Let's just say you hired me, and I was going to sit at the bargaining table. How do I know your wishes? Well, there is an executive session provision in the statute that says we can go into executive session to meet with the labor negotiator. So it would be at least in that session where you could say to me, "Look, you know, under our dead bodies, will we agree to this?" And we'll give you a range of this money to this money. We hope it's on the lower end, but we really can't go above this amount. And then presumably Steve and I go off into the wilderness and go meet with the union and come out with an agreement on the other end of that. So it would be an executive session. We get your direction. Hopefully it's not, you know, we will only agree to 2% this year and 1.75 the next and 0.5 the following year. If it's really precise, it's hard. We would, I think, prefer a range of authority, and then we go out, and when we get the tentative agreement, we bring it back for council's approval or rejection. And then that would be your opportunity to say whether or not what we brought back was within your range.
Kathy? No, I appreciate what you're saying. This is good. And just to kind of reiterate what Ken says, this in this city, everybody knows everything and everyone, so it's a constant motion of verbiage going through
sure,
the town,
sure.
And you don't know where it is or if it's correct, and that's why I think it's extremely important to get that type of guidance and advice, and I've only been in this 6 months, so I'm still on a steep learning curve,
yeah.
But those things are important. And to understand, I kind of call this our little redneck neighborhood, because there's always people ready to fight back.
Oh, yeah.
You know,
yeah,
this
right,
is
yeah.
Lapine. How dare you even try to change anything or tell me what to do?
And yeah, yeah.
I found some of that. But on the other hand, it's a wonderful city, and people are willing to listen if you're there to just give them the courtesy and understanding.
Yeah. Well, from what I've read about the city since its incorporation, you guys have plans to continue to grow.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I think that's a good thing for you.
Yeah, absolutely.
The answer is Teamsters 962.
Ah, really?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
What was that, sir?
Teamsters 962.
Yeah.
I'm not familiar with.
Yeah, so one thing that's a bit unique about my background that I'm proud to say, I spent 10 years on the union side. So I represented unions in Chicago and in Seattle. In Chicago, I represented the Teamsters, Teamsters 705. And that gives me some unique perspective as to what the union may or may not do in a certain circumstance, particularly with the Teamsters. I know them pretty well. I was in Washington State. I represented most of the Teamsters in Washington State. That also, I think, gives some greater credibility when I tell the union, hey, look, this is not going to happen, folks, if it's a no proposal from us, so that we're going to reject their proposal. Because then they know that I know what their next move is, and we can talk about it.
Stu, anything?
I know I saw it, but how many folks are in your firm?
We have 16, I think, today, and next week should be 17. We're hiring another labor attorney who's going to work for me. We're 17.
And since we're just starting, who would we be dealing with?
You'd be dealing with me, yeah. Dealing with me as the lead. And then, you know, if, for example, you had a question and I wasn't available, like yesterday I was in a hearing all day, I check my emails periodically. I'll check in with you and say, you know, is it all right if somebody else can tackle it, or can it wait until today when I'm back in the saddle? But it would be primarily with me, and then I'd ask you, for example, or whoever, if it would be all right to, if you need an answer right away, I can get you somebody else, which is the nice thing about where I'm at.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Dan?
Well, we've talked, you know, mostly about union stuff, but
yeah.
Just in general, sounds like you have a pretty good background just in employee, I don't know, relations and
sure.
Requirements and
yeah.
All that kind of stuff. It seems like what we need from my perspective, and it's not very big perspective, I guess, because I'm kind of new to all this, but it seems like what we're going to need is to be able to get somebody on the phone and say, hey, we got this situation or question, or we kind of have to do this, and it's going to involve maybe more employees or requests for wage increases or something, you know, and I think, you know, how, I assume you're pretty comfortable with that, and
sure.
Accessible. And
absolutely. All my clients have my cell phone, and you can call it night and day. Okay. So, and you caught me at the office at 6:30 one night. So.
Oh, was that the one you got?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Now, where were you, by the way?
Huh? It's not uncommon for me to be in the office that late.
I guess I was just, you know, wanting to be comfortable that we have somebody that would feel like part of our team to
sure.
help us build
yeah.
and
yeah.
go where we need to go, you know, and that's really the comfortability that I feel like I need, is that somebody that's willing, because we're neophytes in this arena. I don't
yeah.
know about Steve, but I mean the rest of us I think are, that's what I see, is we're kind of building to some level that where we need to go, and then once we get there, I'm not sure how strong or often the need's going to be, but for a while there might be
right.
some
yeah.
questions.
Yeah, and again, I would take my lead in terms of how involved you want me engaged and not engaged. I mean, that's really a question for you. And in terms of my accessibility and availability, if you want me to attend a city council meeting, I'm here. You know, if it's going to be a difficult city council meeting involving some labor issues and you want to have me stashed in the corner where Greg is, for example, you know, I can do that. Certainly I've done it before, and I'm happy to help out in whatever capacity you think is appropriate.
And I think from my side, the availability is primary. Yeah. I agree with that. Mm-hmm. It's got to be the team, and we're close enough. That was the other thing, being over the mountain. I know it makes it more difficult, but
we have
the phones and...
Yeah, and my capability now to do so many things remotely, it's great. And we have a number of clients over here in Bend, so it makes sense.
Okay.
Well, our time is up.
Okay.
We want to thank you very much.
Well, thank you for having me again.
Excuse me, Steve. I do have one more question.
Okay, sure.
As a small city.
Yes.
And I'll tell you, our tax base is $198,000.
No.
We do have limited resources.
Yes.
A consideration for us is any time we do something is value to dollar.
Sure.
I looked at your fee schedule.
Yes.
Would you be willing to talk about per event or? Is there another fee schedule that you have that takes into account a small city
sure.
like Lapine?
I would say this. I have a public sector rate that I charge across the board. That's the 275 rate. So it is a small to City of Portland rate. I'm more than happy to talk about a different fee schedule, though, if it's a project type basis. So for example, if you were going to say to me, well, we only need you on this project, could we, you know, talk about a different rate for this project? But, you know, I have that flat rate for everyone for a reason, because, you know, if I tell Medford that my rate's 250, Doug's going to talk to, you know, somebody over at the next conference and say, well, gee, I just, you know, charge me 250, and suddenly, you know, there's a different rate all over the board, and then it becomes the race to the bottom. So my rate is 275, and that's a public sector rate. I don't charge that rate for my private sector clients. For example, last night, my rate for the hearing was much greater than 275.
Okay. And that was exactly what I was looking for in
okay.
the answers.
Okay.
Okay.
I know we're out of time. I just wonder, though, I want to make sure that he doesn't have any answer questions.
Oh, probably good. You got any questions for us, by all means.
Yeah.
I don't want to short shrift you. I'm just trying to keep...
And I appreciate that, and I'm sure there's somebody waiting for yes. the next interview, so I want to be mindful of his time as well as yours. The one question that I do have that I'm a little unclear about, and I would only say this as be mindful of it. These folks were in a special district before, and now they're city employees.
Yes, that's correct.
And did the city follow the transfer statute in transferring them over, consistent with that statute? Because there is a statute that governs how those folks.
Yes.
Okay.
I'm pretty sure we did. I'm going to make a note of it, though.
Yeah, just be mindful of that, and I'm sure you guys. You know, we're tracking that, but
we belabored this whole issue
yeah.
considerably. Again, because brand new and wanting at the onset to do what was right.
Sure. Yeah. Right.
To
yeah.
make it work for everyone.
Yeah.
Okay. But I think we did. Anyway, I made a note of it. Make sure we did.
Okay. All right.
Todd, thank you very much for
yeah.
coming over.
Thank you, folks, for having me. I appreciate it.
I have one more thing.
Okay.
There is a dress code we have here, Todd,
yeah.
so you would have to end up with a cowboy hat.
That's okay. I've got the cowboy hat. I've got the gringo boots, the
okay.
old gringo, and I can come in that
there
outfit as well.
Again, thank you very much.
All right, thank folks.
You.
Have a good night.
Yeah.
Thank you, Todd.
Safe travel.
Thanks very much, sir.
Very nice meeting you.
Nice meeting you.
Thank you, Todd.
Thank you, Todd.
That's true. Have a good night, folks.
Good night. Thank you.
Safe journey home.
All right.
I'm going to talk and just break for a minute.
We can break for a minute.
Good evening.
We'll take a 2 minute break.
Right here?
Sure.
Yes, come on up.
Katie, thank you for coming along.
Oh, sure.
We'll take a minute until Kathy comes back.
Everyone's got to take a break, so. It's warmed up out there. It's 45.
Wow. Gee, that's warm here.
That's warm for what it's been.
I think the wind's...
Bend and Redmond was cold today, I heard. Quite cold.
Now, we've heard from our weather forecaster already this evening.
Yeah.
Like rain and then snow, that's what I've heard. It's winter, we might as well have snow, in my opinion.
Yeah.
What I've heard is you don't want to be going over the passes tonight.
Well, we heard that firsthand, too.
Yes, we did.
That's right. From the person with the mojo.
And the pizza.
Trying to be inconspicuous, but.
Oh, you did a really good job of it.
We're back from break, and so everybody knows, tell us who and...
Who I am? Okay, well, I'm here. Well, my name's Katie Tank, and I am the managing partner of the Central Oregon office of Schwabe, Williamson, and Wyatt, and we had submitted a proposal in response to your RFP. So we would love to offer our services, labor relations and labor law services, and whatever else you might need.
Okay. Stu, can I start with you? Okay, go to Kathy.
So you're in Bend.
I'm in Bend.
Okay, I thought I remembered you. Okay.
Yes.
I think I've mentioned. So you know more about the pine. Are you aware of who we are and what we're striving for?
Definitely. I've lived in Central Oregon for 12 years, and I've served on the EDCO board since 2005, and on the executive committee since 2006, and have served with a couple of your community members, Lee Smith and also Bill Kopatz. We regularly attend meetings down here. So I've kind of followed the progression of Lapine. In 2005, you weren't incorporated. Kind of watched that process occur, watched your industrial park get developed into a shovel-ready spot. So based on my work with EDCO, I'm also on the executive committee, have been on the executive committee since 2006. Lapine is one of the communities we serve on EDCO for economic development, so I've been involved with that. I also am the chair of the Oregon Employer Council Central Oregon, and Central Oregon Council and Lapine is part of the community we serve. That organization represents employers as a liaison with the employment department, and so we have members who are from Lapine who come to our meetings, and we try to stay appraised of employment issues in Lapine as well. So. So plus, Schwabe has a lot of clients out here that we do work for. One of my staff members lives out here, just 30 miles away. So I feel really connected with this community.
Dan?
Well, let's see. I guess the thing that we see, that I kind of see us doing right now, is building a foundation as we go here for our a good, strong future.
Mm-hmm.
It involves a lot of employees, and some employees have come over to us from a special district that mm-hmm. are part of a union, a fairly new union set up, and how we're going to merge that and all that is we're going to need some counsel on,
mm-hmm.
I think.
Mm-hmm.
And so it seems like even though we're small, it's kind of there may be some broad needs that we have, and maybe some training and things like that. And I guess could you kind of address how you feel like you could be a part of getting us from point A to B and then C?
Definitely. I mean, I've over the years, I've done both public and private sector and been involved in organizational campaigns and representative elections where we've had a union come in and only represent part of a workforce, and which is always a challenge when you bring in just unions for one particular subclass. Neighbor Impact, I do all of their labor relations, and their Head Start staff form a union, and of course the rest of their staff are non-union, and so we've had to deal with those issues and try to avoid bleeding of union into other classifications, and so far we've been really successful there. But I helped train the Head Start staff on how to deal with union issues. I negotiated their initial contract and now two successor contracts, and so kind of worked with them to bring a union in a non-union environment and meld the two groups, and it's been real successful. We've had very few union conflicts, and we've had no unfair labor practice charges, which is kind of a miracle, and a lot of that was due to, you know, training and transitioning and educating. So we have a great contract. I encourage you, if you're looking for references, to talk to Betty Schuler, who's the Head Start Executive Director. Sharon Miller, the Executive Director, is now gone, but they were at the bargaining table with me negotiating these contracts. So, and I have another situation now where it's a public entity who just had a representational election. A union is coming in a non-union environment, and we're about to start collective bargaining. So we're working again with that employer to, you know, what are the realities, what are the restrictions, what can you do and not do. We're in status quo right now, like you guys are. You don't have a contract, and just working with supervisors who don't have a lot of familiarity dealing with unions in terms of kind of the do's and don'ts, and, you know, don't invite an unfair labor practice charge, because that's what unions love. So I've worked with a lot of companies, both public and private, to kind of to bring it together and to negotiate contracts and make it in a way. So my concern always is when you have a unionized workforce that comes in and they only represent a portion, that they're going to try then to unionize the rest of your force. And most employers don't want that. And so you've got to be successful in managing both groups, mm-hmm. both union and non-union. So I don't know if I answered your question.
Well, I think so. You know, part of what's in my mind is there's some levels of training or knowledge that I think we need. I think the council needs a level of knowledge and understanding so we don't get into trouble mm-hmm. out there. Then I think that probably our city manager needs a different level, you know, with it's even more maybe further on. And what I'm curious about is, as much as we need that training, I mean, is how costly is it? Are the rates the same as when you're bargaining and stuff? I mean, how does all that kind of work? I mean, what's the package look like?
Well, I mean, I have kind of my standard training that I've done for supervisors who are going to be at the bargaining table, in terms of, you know, you've never sat at a bargaining table before. Here's what it looks like. Here's what the process looks like. So they're educated. If you've never done that before, it's kind of an eye-opening experience. And then two, I have kind of a training that I put together just for supervisors to how do you deal with the union if they come to you, just nuts and bolts on what you can and cannot say, because an employer is so restricted in what they can say in a union environment, and just kind of do's and don'ts and some training that I put together that's already done, so it's not something I have to create. But in terms of the rates, I'm pretty flexible on the rates. in terms of what works for you. I know you're a small town, you don't have a lot of resources. I love to do this kind of work, so you know, if we need to do a rate for training that's different from the bargaining, or flat rates or something, that we're very, Schwabe's pretty progressive in terms of our billing structures and what we're willing to do. I mean, we're willing to discuss really anything with you guys that would fit, meet your budget. I know negotiations can be time consuming. I know I've negotiated contracts with the Teamsters. I've dealt with the Teamsters, and I know it's not always the most smooth of processes, and it can sometimes take longer. But at least in the public sectors, there are specific timelines that keep you moving along in terms of reaching a deal or not coming to impasse. So, but I'm open to any discussions on rates. And one of my partners here, Tom Triplett, who is actually in the Bend office, I looked at his resume tonight and it says he's in the Portland office. He's in the office right next to mine in Bend. He has a pretty high rate, but he's been doing this for 40 years. I mean, the guy knows everything. He's a resource that I go to quite a bit, and he's also flexible on his rate and would be more behind the scenes advice and counsel. And he is just, he's negotiated so many contracts. He's done so much. I think would be a great resource for this council and the city in terms of just his level of expertise and seeing what he's seen over the years. So, okay.
Thank you.
Okay.
Stu?
Hi.
Hey.
How are you?
I'm okay. How are you?
I'm good.
Get some food.
I know you did some work for us.
Mm-hmm.
And it was on the human resource side. What part of that, how do you work that into your negotiations with the union? What, would you have any problem, because I sat on one negotiating table once and instantly they just went south.
Mm.
And so how would you approach our city manager if he's at the table and the union folks are at the table and the city is just off base? Would you have a problem telling the city that, no, you guys are wrong and the union is right?
Yeah, absolutely. And I've done it before where I see, you know, my client and employer getting entrenched and it's not going where, and it's not a reasonable position and it looks like we're not bargaining in good faith, I will speak up. Because my job is to keep the employer out of trouble with the union. And if I see it heading that way, respectfully call a caucus and talk to the team about, is this a good path? And maybe we should reconsider that. Because, I mean, the goal is you want to avoid a strike. You want to get a contract that's reasonable for both sides, and that does require give and take. Although sometimes you have to hold firm with your positions, and that's sometimes where you end up, and you just say no. So. But I've acted on the team and I've acted as the lead negotiator, but I always want the team to be on the same page with the same message, and making sure nobody's saying something or doing things that are going to lead us into an unfair labor practice charge, because that just drives up the cost of negotiating, and then you're in a position of defending it and you have upset employees. So
on that, you know, we are a small community, so the employees that we have, you know, we're pretty much all of us on a first name basis.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they live down the street from us. So, you know, it's mindful that what is said is going to get out there.
This is true.
And so your advice on how to handle that would be training?
Training, I mean, you have two very small units. I mean, aren't there two employees in both the water and the sewer after the transfer?
Three total.
Yeah. I mean, it's a small group, and it is a small community, and negotiations can be open to the public. So you have to be civil and respectful, because you have to assume that whatever you say is going to get out there in the community, and that will play out well or poorly, and then you potentially get the community involved and upset because you know the employer is beating up on the employees or something. That's the political side of it that you have to be sensitive.
The human resource side of it, you also be there available to help keep us out of trouble on that side.
Definitely.
Not just union.
No, I do both. I do both. I do both the employment side, the civil side of civil lawsuits, or anything dealing with employee relations, and also the labor side dealing with unions. So I do both sides of those, and I like the balance that gives. So
I think for me, and I've heard it already at the council here, that we're very interested in your company be selected. We're very interested in training, you know.
I think that's a good idea.
I mean, to do our jobs properly and respectfully of our obligations, I think we need to know when, where, and why not to say things, and a description of consequences, you know. So that whole piece around, you know, what our role is.
Mm-hmm. No, I think that's important, especially you all. You speak for the city, so what you say matters, and can have a dramatic impact. And so I know. People get nervous about saying anything because they're afraid that what they say is wrong. And I think with training, there are things you can say. You do have to be careful, but if you're given an idea of what is permissible and what isn't permissible, I mean, it's easier for you to do your job.
I think I would like to say that I would like to see from start to finish of what a process is.
Mm-hmm.
There's nothing happened with this union since we told them that we weren't going to honor the contract,
mm-hmm.
okay?
Mm-hmm.
And then at some point in time, they're going to come back, or I'm assuming this. But I'd like to know what that process is of we get a demand or a letter or whatever, and then we decide, or we have to follow some kind of rules
mm-hmm.
to get to the next place, and we eventually get to the negotiating table, or we get past a point that we've decided, whatever that is.
Mm-hmm.
I think I'd like to see that as a, you know, it's almost like a
timeline.
Well, in the public sector, it's actually really, it's laid out step by step by statute. You know, the private sector, you can negotiate for years, and it goes on and on. In the public sector, it's you got 150 days, basically, to negotiate once they demand to negotiate. If you don't reach an agreement, you can go into mediation, into fact-finding, and it all happens relatively quickly, and eventually, roughly in that time frame, there's time frames for everything. Then you either reach an agreement or you reach impasse. You're not a strike prohibited workforce here, and so that's where it would potentially culminate. But hopefully, you just get a contract. So, but yeah, it's actually fairly civilized in the public sector side, and it's relatively easy to kind of lay out those steps and where you go from one step to another.
Okay. What is the smallest organization you represent, or the smallest number of union employees?
Non-union, I represent a lot of mom and pops that have two or three employees. I mean, that's just the nature of a lot of businesses here in Central Oregon, and so I do a lot of work with them because, unfortunately, our discrimination laws apply if you have one or more employee, along with all of our wage and hour rules, so they have to be advised, just like, you know, the 150 employer. So I represent very small employers to very big employers. On the union side, this is a unique situation to have just three people in a unit. I mean, I will say that's relatively unusual. Usually the unions aren't interested in that because it's not doesn't provide a big membership due base, and it's a lot of work to negotiate a contract. So this is somewhat of a unique situation, but since I was involved in the transfer, I'm aware of some of the history that went on there, and kind of that explains maybe why there was unionization early on. So, but this would definitely be the smallest. And unfortunately, you got to go through the same process for whether it's 3 employees or 50 employees. The process doesn't change at all. So,
okay. Kathy, anything else?
No.
Dan, you got anything else?
Yeah, but I'm just curious. You seem to be pretty interested yourself, and I'm just wondering, would you be the person we would be dealing with on a regular basis, or are there other?
Yes, unless you wanted some of my other partners. But no, I would be the primary point of contact, and then rely on. I've got two partners, Tom Triplett, who I mentioned, and then Michael Garone, who's in our Portland office, who has a substantial amount of experience, labor law experience, as backup or a bouncing board or however they're best utilized. But yeah, it would be primarily me, but I do have partners who do this as well. So.
Okay. Thank you. Mm-hmm.
Do you have any questions for us?
So I know last time as I recall, there was a letter saying, will you just accept the old contract? And we said, no. There's been no activity since then?
Not that we know about.
And the transfer has been smooth in terms of when people came over. I know there was no challenges to the decisions that were made on the transfer, and it's been smooth and cooperative so far with the assumption of those staff.
Yeah, and again, we haven't pried, are you actively, earnestly pursuing some union venture, because I don't think that's our right to ask, and so I haven't, and they haven't offered up, but I haven't heard the inklings of that. Usually if there's something out there, the rumblings kind of permeate somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
I haven't heard anything.
So that's good. So
I'll just knock on wood. I think we should all knock on wood. That's kind of where it is now.
Well, you never know where these things can go. I mean, you never hear from them, or there could be a decertification campaign. I've been through a number of those with the Teamsters. And so it's a unique situation. I guess no news is good news. Let sleeping dogs lie, so to speak.
It's all about prevention.
Mm-hmm.
And that is, we're just on top of our game. Something occurs, we know how to handle it. We've got somebody to help us handle it.
Mm-hmm. Well, and the trick will be, if once you start wanting to changing your handbook and changing the status quo, that's something, an area where you want to be careful, because we are laboratory condition status quo. So if you want to reduce benefits, then that's something that where the union will get involved. So have that on your radar if you are looking at revising your handbook or changing benefits. I mean, if it's an increase, you still have to talk with the union about that, and usually they won't object, but just be aware of that if you want to make changes in the meantime. So, but I mean, if you have happy employees, you may they may go dark for a while. So
by going dark, they
just not pursuing collective bargaining.
Okay.
And usually collective bargaining is driven by unhappy employees who are unhappy with their benefit package. And they call the union and say, get over here and do your job. And that starts the process. But if you have, employees who are relatively happy, then they don't perceive the need to have that process in place.
Okay. Council, anything further?
I don't believe so.
Okay. Steve, anything?
Just a question. The gentleman that was just in here, Mr. Lyon, he asked me a question and I answered it as best I could. He said, now when the two special purpose districts divested and the employees came over here, you followed the transfer statute. And I said, I believe we did.
We did.
Okay.
We did. I assisted you with through yeah, Jeremy Green.
I was saying we did, but I just thought,
we to the T, and in fact there was an appeal period and that expired long ago, so okay. if there was anything done that was not proper, probably would have heard about it, but okay. Everything was done right in accordance with state law.
It's good news.
There being nothing else, any further questions of us or?
If you ever have any more questions of me, just let me know. And good luck with this process. Always dealing with employees, either it's on the union side or not, can be a big adventure. And I do both sides of it. But good luck, and good luck in your selection process. Hopefully you've got some good firms that have applied to offer you assistance in this area. So,
I think for anyone that gets hired, one of our first considerations would be some training
mm-hmm.
and a question and answer period of, we've had time or issues that could be pointed out to us, but I think we all think that's important.
No, I agree. I think that would be the first order of business, just so you feel comfortable in your own skin, so to speak, dealing with these issues and things that might come up. And then also walking through the collective bargaining process if and when you reach that milestone. So okay. Education is power. Knowledge is power.
Thank you.
You bet. All right. Great. Thank you. Nice to see you all again.
Yes.
Have a good night. Hopefully you're not going to be here too late.
Sure, the city manager can speak to that too.
This is
the third one chose not to.
It's Joel Reeves, and they let us know, I believe, either this morning or yesterday, that they understand submitting an application. I don't know why. They're a pretty well known firm. Not just here. They're a big firm all over. I think not just in our work.
I never heard of what was her name? Schwartz.
The firm Schwartz?
Schwartz, Biden, and Nick.
Yeah, for the one that didn't come, that third one?
I don't know.
No, he's talking about a different one.
No, not sure. Holy? Holy. But in there. Olympia, but.
I think he's under weather stress.
I think so.
Let us proceed.
Now this was agendized as a special session, and so because of that, you certainly have the ability
to select
take an action. See me.
I would ask the council if individually, you're prepared to take an action. Stu, are you prepared to take an action?
Well, I don't know, before, yeah, I guess so. I'd like to hear a conversation.
Me too.
But, yeah.
Well, that's part of taking the action. Yeah.
Sure.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, let's just talk about it. I there's no doubt that I like the whole idea of being local. I definitely like the instant willingness to do packages or negotiate or set a flat rate, training rates, and ready and willing to help us, you know. I also think that we would financially benefit by the fact that somebody's not going to have to come up to speed from zero. So I liked firmness and it's obvious to me that he has a great deal of experience, or you know, and that could work also. But personally, I have several other pieces with Schwab Williamson and Watt that make me want to look at them as our best. That's me.
On the original papers that we got out, the one thing I did notice that Katie's fees were a lot higher now. She said tonight she was willing to look at those. So that was one thing I was concerned about, because Todd Lyons had the lowest fee chart of any of them. So if she would indeed be staying with that, and I guess in a way, as I sat here and just watched too, I appreciated the firmness that he held. She gives the impression more of a country girl, a small town. I guess I haven't been, I do, she was in a session with Jeremy, wasn't she? Okay, she was pretty quiet that day though, so she was supporting him. I don't know that side. If push came to shove, I don't know that side. So I have to depend on you guys. I do like the idea that it's close and easier. Hopefully she would be more available to get up here in a day if we needed her. I know she can't wipe a calendar out, but more so than he may be. But so I guess I'm pulled, because originally he was the one, when I went through everything and marked him down the first time, he's the one I went for. So
I think you covered it, Ken, from my perspective. You know, I like that she's familiar with Lapine. She's been involved with us already to some extent. And I think it's an advantage that she's a little bit easygoing. I think when you draw a hard line in negotiation, you get a hard line, and when you're easier going. And I haven't dealt with unions, but in general, when you're working with people, I think that that kind of personality does well. I think you can relate with our local people when you're within that approach. But I think they're both very good, very capable. I don't recall their fee structures, and so that is something that's important. And but she did agree to be willing to discuss that. You know, I maybe that should be discussed before we come to a conclusion. But I I like that she's been involved as a volunteer for EDCO. You know, that shows willingness to give to the greater community, the Central Oregon community, and we want to be a part of all that. I just think there's a kindredness that we have there that is valuable to us.
And you all have the experience of working with her too. You know what you've gone through to get to this place.
Stu?
I didn't know that she was a part of the whole thing with the water and sewer.
Well, she wasn't. She was, when the transition occurred, then Jeremy recommended her to us to serve as a facilitator for that process because she had the expertise and Jeremy didn't. Jeremy's firm has all the expertise except labor council.
Okay.
So he reached out to her to help facilitate the outcome.
Okay.
And we did have a good amount of interaction with her. I mean, I saw the
okay, good.
The bills.
Yeah, I didn't.
Oh,
yeah.
And they were so high. I just, goodness.
Was it?
Oh, these folks, these labor folks are just expensive.
That was my point for actually asking about this flat rate, about looking at that, because I just feel that we need to be thinking of that kind of stuff. So,
well, I think, you know, I've dealt with her on the private side.
Okay.
And have been very satisfied with, and that's why I asked about the human resources side. Mm-hmm. And she's very versed in that. We haven't had to go back to her since that instance.
Okay.
But that's why I thought sitting up here, because you could see how more relaxed she was rather than if we were face to face. So, and the gentleman, he got a little relaxed after he started talking and everything. But I was more impressed with Katie's manner of herself than with the gentleman. And I think since she was involved with the city before, and she does have the experience with the city and the water and the sewer, she knows the employees, you know, she knows the history, she knows where the city wants to go. So, yeah, that's why when you ask, I'm ready to make a decision. Yeah.
I think to address what Kathy's concerns and mine too, because, you know, looking at his is 500, I'm sorry, let me clarify, that the gentleman she was talking about, Tom, or her partner here, in, Tom Triplett, his fee is $500 and some odd if you look in the fee schedule. So, and hers is like what, $325, I think.
I wish I'd have brought that first packet, because didn't she say that he would be our primary at that point in that packet, and that she would be, if we went beyond that, that she would be able to help us. So tonight for me has been a reversal of everything that I've already read. So in a sense, I'm just a little bit more confused.
I don't remember. I always thought that she was the lead.
That's what she said to me.
In response to your comments, that whether him or her, but the rates are, and I've forgotten this. His rate is $230 to $590, and his paralegals are from $150 to $230 per hour. And her rate is, my time will be billed at $295 an hour. And with the idea that, they're willing to do flat rates and pieces and training at special rates, I don't know how we would want to say that as we decide to choose, other than that if we can give the city manager room to, I'm just going to do a scenario, say that we appear to be in consensus that, that Schwab, Williams, and Wright are, is who we are most comfortable with, then we would give our city manager a room to negotiate this area of training.
Downward, right?
He's quick.
Thank you.
Yeah. Yes. And yeah. then when you're comfortable.
Nothing, yeah. Nothing ventured, nothing gained. Yeah. I mean, if I throw out a number less and she takes umbrage, so what? I mean, at least we've tried to save some dollars here in our kitty. Just saying, at $500 an hour, that's $5,000. You work 10 hours, that's $5,000. That's unbelievable.
And we volunteer for this job.
Yeah.
We'll get your reward one day.
I don't even get plaque. I didn't get plaque the last time. I'm still on my plaque thing. But I agree with everyone, yeah. Okay. I think, especially you do, so. I'll make a motion.
Okay.
If we're ready.
You. Lay it out there.
I move that we accept, enter into a contract with the approved, with the authority for the city manager to make adjustments to the rate schedule adjustments. Negotiate rate structure with our Schwab, Williamson, and Wyatt.
Okay. And I will second that.
Motion and seconded. Is there any further discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor?
Aye.
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 Opposed. Let the record reflect that the vote is a unanimous quorum vote for approval.
Cool.
This is all done. Mm-hmm. I would like to.